apply.
Arm's Length Reporting, for investors who want the whole story. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. I'm Al Cortland. We're starting out our second hour with a new guest on the program, Andre Julien. Andre, thanks so much for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me, Al. I really appreciate it.
Give us a little background on yourself before we begin, would you?
I'm actually the Senior Market Strategist and CFO of OpVest, OpVest Wealth Management. I've been in the business for over 14 years and really specialize in looking at investing in alternative assets and looking at an investor's complete portfolio to help them make good decisions in the market.
When you talk about alternative assets, tell me exactly what that means.
We just look to diversify the portfolio into sectors, different sectors, so that we can eliminate the market risk that comes from just having your money in equities. So you take a look at managed commodities, take a look at REITs, take a look at managed equities, and put them all in one basket and look at your portfolio as a whole, rather than looking at each individual investment as a part of the whole.
A lot of people right now, a lot of the quote-unquote experts saying that they're looking for a major correction in the market, and they're looking for that correction to occur very much sooner rather than later. I personally, Andre, am in agreement with those guys, and I'm putting my money where my mouth is in the sense that my wife and I are investing either in hard assets, specifically silver, or in companies that hold what I would call things, okay, assets in the ground, for example, gold reserves, silver reserves, et cetera, et cetera. I really believe that that's the place to be right now. Now, having said that, let's talk a little bit about this potential of an upcoming major correction in the market. Do you think that's going to happen?
I do believe it's going to happen. I think that if you look at the fundamental factors in the economy, in the European economy with Japan, I think they're pointing to that. But I'd really want to urge people to even look at the technicals, look at the chart, go back to the S&P. If you look, there are certain key factors that are present currently. If you look at the 200-day moving average of the S&P, we're right at a pivotal junction right now, and it's actually starting to turn downwards. It's actually starting to recede. And if you look back, go back to July 2006, we achieved a support level of 1220, and then in January of 2008, the 200 moving day average began to decrease as it is right now. We're literally at the same point we were. Well, the market then dropped to 675 or so by March of 2009. Now, in April of 2010, just last month and a half ago, we failed to break that 1220 level, which is huge. Then we started to come back down, broke below that 200 moving day average, and now we're right at that point. So it's really critical technically what happens over the next week or so. And if this market doesn't come and start breaking some of these levels, you can see a huge correction. And again, I'm not a proponent of the end of the world. I think it's only going to happen once, so it's probably not a good bet. But we're looking at really at coming down to 900 levels or so, I think, without too much of a problem.
Tonight, 9,000 levels, you said.
I mean, excuse me, 9,000 levels. I apologize.
No. Well, that's an interesting point. So what are you telling people to do right now?
Diversify. I mean, you should have a section of your portfolio in managed futures. I'm a strong believer of that. If you look, a great statistic to look at is in 2008, the futures themselves were down 47%, down more than any other sector, but managed futures were up about 18%. So that really shows that it's a different asset class because obviously, you can go short or long. It doesn't matter where the market's going as long as you're in a position of profit. So the managers in the futures typically, they really don't care whether it's bull or a bear market. They're just there to trade and make money. And obviously, it has become a trader's market. So a portion of your portfolio should definitely be in that. And studies have shown that even if you have 20-25% of your portfolio in managed futures, win, lose, or draw, you actually have a stronger return on your overall portfolio because you're hedging your equities portfolio with non-correlated assets.
How would you address those people who are saying this correction is going to be more than just a major correction in the market? We're looking at at the potential of a major collapse, for example, in the monetary system in the United States. Now, that sounds very dramatic, okay? And a lot of people would say that's absolutely crazy. I have no intention of even thinking about that, okay? And I don't... I personally choose to not lose sleep over that either, although I do think that it is a possibility. Now, you're saying you think the end of the world is only going to happen once. I would have to totally agree with that. But having said that, I mean, do you think this thing could be any more serious or should be, let me rephrase that, could be more serious than simply a, you know, 1,000-point correction in the Dow? I mean, there are people out there saying, we're looking for a 5,000, 4,000 Dow. We're looking for a major, some major, major cranks in the monetary system in the United States. How would you respond to those comments?
I would think that people aren't taking it seriously enough right now. Mm-hmm. You know, if you scour through the news, one day it's bad news, contagion in Europe, and then the next day things are better. Fears have subsided.
Yeah.
But why have they subsided? The fundamental statistics are still there. The underlying fundamental issues with the monetary system are still there. They haven't gone away. And, yeah, I think that that's going to be a major problem. And as far as banks, I mean, they estimate that by the end of 2011, the banks are going to have a global capital deficit of $1.5 trillion. So they're going to need aid to survive, which means, you know, more printing of money. And then eventually you're looking at, you know, people have been talking about hyperinflation down the road because of all this printing of money. Banks, though, are hoarding that capital. That's the big issue, too. Any aid they get, they're hoarding. They're not lending it out to businesses. Lending has gone down. And that's why we have such anemic growth. Anemic growth on the back of a huge stimulus. But it's really not real growth, because if you look back any other time we've come out of a recession, look at the three or four quarters following that, the GDP, the growth has been 8, 9, 10%.
Mm-hmm.
We're not seeing that. People are happy with 3% saying we're growing, but again, it's on the back of stimulus. Banks just aren't functioning the way that they used to. There's going to have to still be a lot of reform in the banks. We don't even know here in the United States the Senate already signed the bill. As long as the Senate and the House agree, that bill is going to at some point go into law, maybe, you know, as soon as at the end of this month. We don't know what that bill is going to look like yet 100%. So, again, you have a lot of uncertainty in the banking industry. There's a lot of debt out there. There's debt, government debt. There's personal debt. And banks and private citizens are in that hoarding mode right now.
Yeah.
So it's going to be really tough for the economy to recover based on what's going on.
Well, the statistics right now for consumer spending, and correct me if I'm wrong, but consumer spending really isn't doing much to fuel the economy right now. You know, and that obviously adds credence to, you know, to what you just said. People are in, you know, a bit of a hoarding mode right now. I have to tell you, my wife and I got into a bit of a hoarding mode about 5 or 6 years ago. We saw what was coming, and you know what? Very little, if any, debt. And I'll tell you something else. Pardon me. I'll tell you something else. We don't. Not only do we have very little debt, we don't. We simply do not use credit cards anymore. Well, we're not exactly helping the economy, but you know what? You got to look out for yourself.
Yeah, and that's a huge issue right now. The government is telling consumers to spend. So consumer confidence rises, yet spending doesn't rise.
Right.
Okay, and then these reports are always a month behind, and we all know that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they come out well after the changes occurred in the economy. So we're always 30 days behind, always 30 days behind on everything. But yeah, that's an issue right there. Consumer spending accounts for about 70% of the growth in the economy.
Sure.
If consumers aren't spending and they're saving, like you said, you need to do what's right for your family. You need to save. You need to make sure that you have money set aside. But you know, that's not great for the government, because they're coming out and saying, you know, you have to spend, we have to help the economy.
Yeah, I think, you know, the problem in my mind is the fact that we're in this whole mess, and we could go on forever about this, but in my opinion, we're in this whole mess because people got in way over their heads in terms of debt. The government is way in over their head in terms of debt. You know, if it wasn't this Me Too instant gratification philosophy that our society began to go through in about the mid 60s, I have to say, I don't think we'd have the problem that we would right now. Thank you so much for your time, Andre. Appreciate it. Big Al's going to be right back.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Hi, this is Peter Kronschnabel with Midas Resources. As you know, government spending is at an all-time high, and inflation will be a direct result of the spending policy. What are you doing right now to protect yourself financially? Are the majority of your assets tied up in the stock or bond market? If so, are those assets working for you or against you? One thing is certain, having physical possession of gold and silver will guarantee that no matter what happens to our economy or the dollar, your investment will never be worthless, and it will protect you from that hidden tax, inflation. If you've been thinking about investing in physical possession of precious metals, I can help. Call me today, Peter Kronschnabel, at 800-686-2237 at extension 108, and I'll take the time to personally put together a portfolio designed to protect what you've worked so hard for. Call 800-686-2237 extension 108. You've worked hard your whole life, and I want to work hard for you. Call Peter Kronschnabel at 800-686-2237 extension 108.
HempUSA.org urges everyone to plan ahead for possible food shortages in the future. We offer this dense, nutrient-storable food directly from the farm to your door. What the world needs is our energy-packed hemp food in a storable, portable form that can easily and quickly be picked up for travel. This food contains readily available protein, amino acids, essential fatty acids, digestive enzymes, and major minerals. Visit HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608. And with prices rising in every sector, the investment in your future is critical to have some storable food available. It wasn't raining when Noah built the ark, so be practical and be wise. Call 908-691-2608 and place your order today. If food shortages don't come, you can always rotate our hemp foods back into your daily food supply. To place your order, learn more, and see numerous other great products, visit HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
If you suffer from poor sleep, you've got to try MyPillow. Introducing the most revolutionary, most comfortable, and coolest pillow ever, MyPillow. Imagine your very own custom fit pillow. MyPillow is the only pillow of its kind on the market that uses a patented fill, custom made to your exact individual needs. MyPillow is 100% made in the USA and has a natural built-in cooling effect that keeps your cervical nerves cool, and that helps you get the best REM sleep possible. MyPillow helps alleviate snoring, migraine, sleep apnea, and other sleeping disorders. MyPillow is antimicrobial, non-allergenic, dust mite resistant, machine washable and dryable, comes in many sizes and will not go flat. And best of all, MyPillow comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. So what do you have to lose? Except poor sleep. Go to MyPillowShop.com, mention coupon code GCN, and receive up to $40 off. That's MyPillowShop.com. Or call 952-442-6199. That's 952-442-6199. MyPillow, for the rest of your life.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome back. We're in the second hour now where we deal with the natural resource industry. We're getting weekly updates from a gentleman by the name of Richard Karn, who is doing an extensive study, a two-year study, I might add, down in Australia. Richard has a publication called the Emerging Trends Report. If you want to get more information on that publication or on what Richard is doing, just click on the banner, which is on our homepage, and that will tell you everything you want to know. Richard, I want to talk a little bit about this profits tax that's in the works down in Australia. I want to talk about it because if it, in fact, goes into effect the way it's proposed, I think it'll kill the mining industry in Australia, and I don't think I'd want to be invested in any Australian mining companies were that to happen. First of all, let's start out. Give our listeners, if you would, a brief overview of this tax, the proposed tax, I guess I want to say.
Well, essentially, as it stands now, in addition to corporate taxes, companies pay state royalties because in Australia, the states own the resources and companies pay royalties for extracting those resources. And there's a different royalty regime in each of the states. And so this original idea of a resource tax was originally intended to take all these different regimes and make them into one standardized form. But unfortunately, what's happened is it's turned into kind of a mess up because the government couldn't reach a agreement with the states on how to deal with this. So they're implementing a new tax they're proposing a new tax on all mining and then going to kick back in the form of a rebate these royalties that are charged by the various states. The general perception, and I'm pretty well versed on it now, is essentially that the government kind of went off half-cocked. It's not very well developed at all. And there are three major sticking points. The first is that they want to impose the tax on profits. It's called the resource super profits tax, but they identify super profits beginning at the cost of capital, which is a 10-year bond rate, which right now is about 5.7%. So anything above 5.7% falls into this higher tax rate that they're proposing. There's a number of sticking points with this. The obvious one is that nobody can borrow money at that rate. For example, there was an article over the weekend in the paper here saying that BHP and Rio and companies like that, these major, super major mining companies, their cost of capital is between 2 and 3% higher than that 5.7% to start with. So if the big guys don't have access to this type of, this can't get their capital at 5.7%, that's kind of a negative for why should they be taxed automatically before they even put anything into works. Second-tier companies, the example they used was Fortescue Metals, the iron company out in the Pilbara in Western Australia. They are paying a 7 to 8% higher than the 10-year rate. And when you get down to the juniors, that rate is higher still. Now, an example that's making the rounds out here is that MacArthur Coal has a large coal field in Queensland that they want to get the coal to the coast to sell it abroad. And they came up with a deal with Queensland Rail, and where the Queensland Rail gave them a loan to extend this rail line. But the cost of the capital on that was 15% a year. Now, MacArthur Coal is a very, very large company. It's a very successful company. They are paying 15% to a state organization. And yet the federal government is trying to impose this tax at 5.7%. Now, if your cost of capital is 15%, but you're going to start getting taxed at 5.7%, you're in a money-losing situation to start with. That is one of the primary sticking points, and I think the backlash to that, my take, and my opinion in $5 will buy a cup of coffee, you have to keep in mind, but my take is that figure is going to be kicked up closer to the tax that they impose on oil and gas industry. The second sticking point is essentially that tax is retrogressive. They want to tax people about businesses that's happened in the past. And nobody wants to say, gee, I had a good year last year, and 2 years later have somebody come in and say, well, I want a bigger piece of what you already paid in tax. This is an understandable response, and it's kind of silly to start with. But the third thing is the broad appreciation, which we are very familiar with in the United States, of the fact that who really wants government as your business partner? You need to look no further than the U.S. Post Office or General Motors or Chrysler, or now the banking system, say, hold on, or look at our housing system. We have more defaults since the FHA started handing out loans than we had when the subprime crisis was going on. We don't, business is not efficient when government is your partner, is the bottom line. So those are the three main sticking points, Al.
Those are fairly serious. Now, there's one other thing. We've got about 4 minutes left here. The one thing that concerns me really has to do with the retroactive nature of this proposal. I cannot believe that the government is actually proposing, number one, this additional tax, and number two, the retroactive nature of it. What do you think about that?
Well,
it kind of undermines the idea of doing business and taking care of your taxes every year and being able to do long-term planning, because, you know, once they set a precedent of a retrogressive tax, that means they can keep upping it forever. Certain things have to be nipped in the bud, or once the precedent is set, it just spirals out of control. And this incrementalist approach to assuming power is stunning. You know, the fact that one, there is a constitutional basis in Australia for the challenge to this federal tax to start with, because at least one interpretation of the Articles of Federation say very clearly that the state own the resources and the government can't tax them. And so one line of attack here is on a constitutional basis. This is shaping up to be a very significant campaign problem down here, or campaign issue down here. And it's the Rudd administration is under the pump, is what they call it down here. His ratings have plummeted. In part due to this, but also to the latest kind of mini scandal down here, which is just more reflective of politics in general than just anything happening in Australia, but it's still something that's getting a lot of press down here, is that campaign promises that he used to defeat the conservative government of John Howard was based on the idea that the government doesn't have the right to use taxpayer money to fund political campaign propaganda, is what he actually called it. And yet he has just waived all of these promises and bypassed an independent agency that's supposed to approve campaign funding, you know, using public money for campaign issues, to fund a $38 million blitz portraying mining as the villains in this. It's a real quagmire down here, but I'm actually kind of pleased. I've been in contact with a lot of mining companies, and I've got my ear to the ground on this because we're down here for a couple of years, and if this tax goes through, we're going to rethink our approach entirely. But I'm very pleased by the backlash by the Australian public. They recognize that the success of their country is essentially built on minerals and wool. And then, you know, later things came in. But those are the two big ones that started everything. And it's an important part of their culture to suddenly take it out of the hands of successful business and give it to government, who has a history of significant missteps and mistakes, we'll just call them, I think is gaining some popularity.
The thing that I find to be absolutely amazing is that the mining industry is, as I said earlier in the show, incredibly important to Australia. And, I mean, this is more than just a regressive tax. This is from everything that I've learned from you. This is a very, very ill-informed, ill-advised, I guess is the best way to put it, action. You know, some of the major countries in the world that are involved in our industry, i.e. the mining industry, would be Canada, the United States, South American countries, etc. And nowhere do any of these people are they proposing basically doing anything that's going to hurt the mining industry, because the governments realize what a huge source of revenue it is for their constituents, you know, their countries, and there's no way they're going to hurt it. You know, at least that's the experience I've had. You know, I was chatting with a fellow down in Chile the first time I was down there, and we were talking about capitalism in Chile, and he said the mining industry and the agricultural industry are incredibly important for the survival of this country. Do you think our government is going to do anything to harm that? Well, that apparently is what's going on in Australia. Richard, thank you so much, my friend.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
This is customer service. How may I help you?
I'd like to cancel my order for your super skincare formula.
And why are you canceling?
Honestly, I found a product that really works.
Can I ask what it's called?
It's called Night Skin. It's the only cream I found that helps fade age spots on my skin.
Really?
And Night Skin supports the production of natural collagen. My face looks amazing.
Maybe you can tell me how to get Night Skin.
Before you spend tons of money on so-called quick-fix skin creams, try Night Skin. Night Skin is a scientifically formulated anti-aging cream made by Dr. Arthur Perry, an award-winning Harvard-trained plastic surgeon. For a limited time, he's offering a free sample of Night Skin to new customers. You only pay shipping and handling. Call 1-800-257-7201. This offer is limited to one free sample per household. Call now and try Dr. Perry's Night Skin free. Call 1-800-257-7201. 1-800-257-7201. 1-800-257-7201.
The problem.
How do I cook food without power?
How do I light my home with no electricity?
How do I get emergency radio broadcasts?
How can I make safe drinking water?
When your power goes out, the solution for cooking, baking, home lighting, listening to the radio, and producing clean water is the Family Emergency Kit from Caro Stove. Caro Stove has been in business for over 12 years with the largest selection of kerosene stoves and family preparedness supplies in the U.S. Now, get the Family Emergency Kit at kerostove.com for only $4.29 plus shipping, a savings of nearly $200. It's perfect for off-the-grid living. Call 888-395-1164 today. That's 888-395-1164 and ask about weekly specials or check the specials online each week at kerostove.com. Again, call 888-395-1164 or go to kerostove.com. Caro Stove, for family emergency solutions.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours, too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved, guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for three decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Hello, this is Alex Jones with some important questions. If you're going into a battle and they give you a rifle and a sidearm, how much ammunition do you want? My answer would be all I can get. In the battle for freedom and the lives of your loved ones, food is your only ammunition. How much do you want? When do you want it? Now or after the battle starts? When will you need it? Can you buy it without proper identification? Will there be any food? Will it make your children sick? If there's a quarantine and you can't feed yourself, will you go to the gathering center and be immunized? You wipe out all these problems if you have a good food supply. Food is your ammunition to fight for your freedom and your life. How much will you need? We don't know. How much do you want? All you can get. I'm Alex Jones. I want all of you good guys to live to fight another day. Call 1-800-409-5633 or check it out on the web at efoodsdirect.com. Again, that number, 1-800-409-5633.
You're listening to GCN, the Genesis Communication Radio Network.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990, this is the Corlin Economics Report.
I'm here to wrap up the show with a gentleman by the name of Mark Davis. Mark was introduced to me by Yale Simpson, who listeners are I'm sure familiar with. Yale is an old friend of mine who is the chairman of a company called Exeter Resources. They are sponsors on our website. I've known Yale, as I said, for about 25 years, and I have the utmost respect for his opinion. Yale called me probably 3 or 4 weeks ago and said, I'd like you to chat with Mark Davis. Mark has a website. It basically geared towards the mining industry. It's a very good website. People are unaware of it, and I think you'd be doing your listeners a service if you, in fact, told them about the site. I looked at the site, spent some time going over it, spent some time off the air talking with Mark, and yes, I agree, it is a valuable site. Two of them out there, actually. One of them is called top40goldstocks.com, and the other one is bmwnews.com. Mark is doing an excellent job. He's able to do that because of his, really, what I would have to say, considerable experience in the news world. Let's talk about that first, Mark. What did you do in the past that allows you to do this with accuracy and diligence?
First off, I back in my 20s, I was a floor trader on the infamous Vancouver Stock Exchange, which allowed me to cut my teeth on the stock exchange, give me some insight into the junior gold sector. I later moved back to the UK, where I'm originally from, and worked for Dow Jones in London, covering the Forex markets and Wall Street and Tokyo and the Hang Seng and exchange in Hong Kong and so forth. Later, I moved back to Canada and ended up working for the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation as an on-camera television reporter covering the business sector, and used that to segue into back into the stock market, where in recent years I've been covering the junior gold sector and base metals. I ran a website for 7 years called Small Cap Media, where essentially we wrote in-depth coverage of up-and-coming base metals and gold stocks that we thought were good prospects, and many of them did exceptionally well. But in the last several years, I've been developing bnwnews.ca, which is a news aggregator with a soft focus on the mining sector, whereby we generate editorials and hard news every week on what's going on in the sector. And we're in the process right now of launching top 40 gold stocks.
Let's stick with BNW News just for a minute, if you wouldn't mind, Mark. Now, BNW
Absolutely.
News, the information on that site, if I'm not mistaken, if I understood you correctly, is picked up it's not only on your site, but it's originated on your site and it's picked up by various other sites, perhaps the most notable of which is Reuters. Is that correct?
That is indeed correct. We syndicate our articles on the gold sector to a number of news agencies, mostly in the mining space. But our articles are run also by the Financial Post in Canada, the National Post in the States, Reuters, even USA Today, Wall Street Journal's Market Watch, and Google News and so forth, and by which I mean these news agencies' respective websites.
Okay.
But all told, about 60 or 70 news agencies typically pick up our articles.
Now, to the best of your knowledge, is bnwnews.com, is that the one of the few websites that is picked up by the major news outlets?
Well, what we do, Al, is we don't write market commentary per se, whereby we're endorsing any particular mining juniors and offering our opinions on what makes them particularly good stocks. We just write hard news features. We discuss what's going on in the gold space, whether it be action on the gold price related to central bank activity or interest rates and so on. Or we write, for instance, we wrote a feature just the other day on all the gold juniors in Latin America that have gold deposits that are over 10 million ounces.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this is all hard news. So there is flattering commentary about some of these companies in the articles, but it's all factual. At no point do we actually endorse any of the companies that we mention.
So your philosophy basically is the same as mine. Neither one of us are paid touts, for lack of better terms. We report on the news as it is. Okay, and that's probably one of the reasons, Mark, that our show has gotten as popular as it has over the years. The content isn't advertorial. Now, you basically have a list of companies that are in the mining sector, and you have a summary, you have summary columns accompanying the name of the company discussing whether, what the general consensus is right now, buy, sell, or hold. Now, that isn't your opinion. That's the opinion of a major organization called Bar Charts, located in Chicago. Is that correct?
That is correct, Al. We are provided a feed, if you will, by Bar Chart. They sell their black box technical analysis to brokerage firms all over the United States, all over the world, in fact. And we have customized some of that data to focus on, if you will, a who's who of the junior gold sector in Canada. And we, again, the signals that they're provided to us, whether they be buy or sell signals, we cannot manipulate them in any way. They're the real deal. In a marketplace such as the one that we have right now, they paint a flattering picture of some of the companies, and some of the other companies, they paint a rather negative picture. But It's all credible information, and investors can use this to help shape their investment decisions.
Well, let's talk about the credible nature of that information. Now, basically, whether a company has a buy rating, a hold rating, or a sell rating, that is dependent not on, I don't want to use the word opinion, but it's based, if I'm not mistaken, on serious technical data, correct? There's nothing objective about it. Am I correct in that?
That is absolutely correct. The metrics that are used involve basically directional indicators for ranging from 1 day to 100 days out, and there's many, there's up to 12 different types of indicators that bar chart use to assess the direction of these stocks. And again, these are all excellent companies on this website with advanced stage gold projects, which is why some of them trade up to $10 a share. Some of them are just in the doldrums right now, or they were awaiting a feasibility study, which is why their stocks may be drifting lower. If they're sending out sell signals, it does not necessarily reflect that they're poor investments.
If they're putting out sell signals, what?
If they are putting out sell signals at this juncture, it might be just a reflection of the volatility in the market, or a reflection of the fact that the company does not expect any significant news for the next several months, and the stock may just be drifting lower. But that said, many of these companies could be expecting a full-blown feasibility study 90 days out, at which point the stock will start to rally again.
Now, if people want to get that additional information, you have another column entitled, the farthest column over to the right, I don't recall what it is, but they can click on that, and then that information would also come out, correct?
That is indeed correct, Al. On the far right-hand side of the table, there's a column called Value Drivers and News, and that reflects all the latest information pertaining to these companies. Mm-hmm. That will help investors get a better insight into where the company is going, regardless of what the technical signals may be saying.
Got it. Okay, been chatting with Mark Davis. Check out the website. We do provide a link to that website from the homepage on our website. I like what this guy is doing. I think it's credible information, and it puts another arrow in your quiver in terms of being able to make investment decisions. Hey, thanks for listening. We'll be back next week.
You've seen our SinoFresh banner on the GCN website.
Yet your sinusitis is still a problem.
Are you waiting for your sinusitis to go away by itself?
Are you waiting for a SinoFresh discount?
Okay, here it comes.
But first, the facts.
67 other products merely treat symptoms.
And not the cause of sinus problems.
And 37 million Americans suffer from sinus distress just like you. But now many are finding relief with the only patent-protected homeopathic nasal product that antiseptically eliminates the known causes of sinusitis. SinoFresh.
Now, here's your limited-time discount offer to use SinoFresh.
Call 888-906-3636 right now for $2 off per bottle when you mention GCN. That's it. Just call 888-906-3636 and mention GCN for a $2 discount.
But hurry, this offer is only for the first 1,000 customers.
Call 888-906-3636, 888-906-3636. Call right now for $2 off per bottle.
Mention GCN.
Buy SinoFresh.com. It works.
I'm concerned about food for my family in the event of an emergency, and I know you are too. Are you ready? Don't wait for an emergency to happen. Put a plan together now with quality dehydrated food from Ready Reserve Foods. For nearly 40 years, Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, canning the finest in dehydrated foods. Other companies just broker canned foods. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer, controlling quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packing for maximum shelf life. Ready Reserve offers a balanced selection of fruits, vegetables, dairy products, proteins, and grains. Choose from a variety of pre-selected units or order by individual can to customize your own plan. When you purchase from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Call today for a free catalog, 1-800-453-2202, or visit ReadyReserveFoods.com. Call 1-800-453-2202. Ready Reserve Foods. Factory direct, wholesale pricing.
Don't answer it.
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
Fact. 4 million people in the U.S. have hepatitis C due to liver damage.
Fact.
Cirrhosis of the liver is the eighth leading cause of death among Americans.
Fact.
Alcohol, many prescription drugs, food additives, pesticides, and environmental toxins damage the liver.
Fact.
1 in 10 Americans is or has been affected by liver or gallbladder disease.
Fact.
Anything that keeps the liver from doing its job can put your life in danger. Protect your liver by visiting researchedherbs.com and learning more about the world's number one selling all-natural liver support formula, Live52. It is the only herbal liver supplement that is backed by over 190 published clinical trials and endorsed by a quarter of a million healthcare professionals in 76 countries worldwide.
Don't wait to protect your liver.
Visit us at researchedherbs.com or call 1-800-973-1486. That's 1-800-973-1486 or go to researchedherbs.com. All the goodness with none of the side effects.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Okay, welcome back. You are continuing to listen to the Corlin Economics Report. I am chatting right now with Marshall Barrow. We opened the show with Malcolm Gissen, the co-manager of the Encompass Fund. Now we're chatting with Marshall Barrow, who is the second co-manager of the Encompass Fund. I have to say, in the interest of full disclosure, Big Al and his wife Kathy just put some money into the Encompass Fund because we do support what they're doing, and we think philosophically that they are exactly in the right spot. Please don't take this as being investment advice, because it is not. I'm not a registered investment advisor. I just make a point on this program to let listeners know what I am doing. Marshall, how are you, sir?
I'm well, thank you, Al, and we do appreciate the confidence you and your wife have exhibited in Encompass Fund by becoming shareholders.
Well, we
investors,
think, yeah.
As are Malcolm and I and our wives.
Yeah, I know you are. I know you are. I have to, you know, kind of again, in the interest of full disclosure, I've known Marshall for about 25 years, and the only thing I can say is, you know, the guy knows the resource industry like the back of his hand, and you know, that's what we're going to talk about right now. I continue to believe, Marsh, that we're in the perfect storm for gold and silver as a commodity. I think the prices are going to continue to escalate, as Malcolm and I chatted in the opening segment of the program. The situation that's going on in the Middle East right now, which is escalating, is very unfortunate, but, you know, the price of gold and silver are going to go up. I also believe very, very strongly in if a person is going to invest in this particular sector, I think that investing in the companies involved in that arena makes a lot of sense because of the leverage that's involved there. What do you think?
We would certainly agree with you on that, Al. The Encompass Fund, which Malcolm and I co-manage, has investments in a number of different commodity companies, and particularly gold and silver and a number of the other commodities. But we think an investment in the commodity companies does give you added leverage, and it enables you to pick and choose, and we feel we can do that with some reasonable degree of success. The fund was up 137%. For the year 2009. For 2010, we're up 4.4% as of the end of May for the first 5 months of this year. And while that's not outstanding when you consider that the S&P 500 was down close to 5% for the first 5 months, we're pleased that we've been able to outperform the major indices. And a good part of that is because of our belief that the commodity companies will continue to do well, and fortunately they have. And particularly when you look at gold, it's a commodity, but it's also, as you've mentioned, a storehouse of value. It's inflation protection right now. Inflation isn't on the minds of most people, but it will be. It'll come back. The governments around the world are just printing money and printing more and more. And our government, in my view, unfortunately, figures that a solution to any problem is print more money, run up higher deficits, run up more multi-billion dollar packages, aid mm-hmm. packages. And that, as far as we're concerned, can only benefit gold in the intermediate run and the longer term. Day-to-day, it's who knows. I mean, there's other factors that certainly come into play. We've been surprised with what's been going on in the world geopolitically and economically, particularly in Europe, that gold hasn't done better over the last week or two. But then today or this week, we're starting to see towards the end of the week, gold is once again picking up and has picked up, and we think that's going to continue.
Let's switch the subject just a little bit, if you don't mind. I want to talk about energy issues. Let's talk a little bit specifically about the situation with BP. I know that you're pretty pretty adamant in your feelings about that. What do you think about it?
Well, I think it's extremely unfortunate. It's a tragedy. Sometimes somewhat gets lost in all of the words is the fact that 11 lives were lost, and the disaster that's going on, the problems that's being caused by the oil seepage or leakage or pumping out is very, very bad. But it's also very, very bad when the automatic knee-jerk reaction is, well, let's shut down all drilling or let's not have any new drilling. Because unfortunately, this country, as well as the world, runs on energy, and energy that comes from oil and natural gas primarily. And the alternatives are all well and good, but they're a minute fraction, 1%, 2%, 3%, 4%, depending what numbers you want to use, comes from alternative energy other than hydroelectric, hydropower. And it's going to continue that way for decades to come. We, with the Encompass Fund, feel that one of the ways to not take advantage of the unfortunate BP situation, because we've felt this way a long time, but is investing in some companies involved in the uranium industry. The nuclear power industry around the world is successful. It's growing. There's a number of new plants being built. It's being considered in this country. Some projects are in the early stages of permit application. President Obama spoke within the last few days regarding the BP situation and the Gulf oil situation, and mentioned that we need to make better use of nuclear power. We certainly at the Encompass Fund agree with that, the making additional use of nuclear energy both in the United States and worldwide. And whether it happens in the U.S. or how quickly it happens, it is happening worldwide. And so it's one of the reasons we're believers in companies that are exploring for and producing uranium.
What do you think about oil and gas right now? Let's talk about fossil fuels. I mean, uranium is great, you know, in the future. As are, alternative energy, I'm sure, is, if you realize the magnitude, how big a piece of the pie alternative energy, wind, solar, whatever can take, you got to realize it's pretty minuscule. But, I mean, sure.
Well, it's pretty minuscule, and it's also difficult because the wind doesn't always blow. The sun isn't shining 24 hours a day. But beyond that, one of the difficulties is the distribution systems. And in the United States and in other parts of the world, the distribution system of getting the energy produced by wind and solar from where it's produced to where it's needed is not up to what's needed to move that power from the source of production to the places of usage.
Yeah.
The Arizona or New Mexico deserts or California deserts are fine, but that's not where the people are. The people are in Los Angeles or Phoenix or San Francisco, and getting the power to those people needs greatly improved distribution systems. So that's another part of the problem. You ask about oil and gas. Oil is it goes up, it goes down.
Yeah.
This is not necessarily unanimous in our shop and among the four of us who are involved in money management and management of the Encompass Fund. As to natural gas, I personally have felt that natural gas probably had bottomed over the last month or so, and increasingly it looks like it has bottomed and should be rising. And the companies that are involved in natural gas should be doing better stock market-wise, and it's starting to look like that's very possibly the case because the price of natural gas is going up. There's a big disconnect between the energy equivalent output of natural gas and oil from what it historically is. So we would say that people should be paying more attention to natural gas and the natural gas, the companies involved in the natural gas industry, because very well over the coming months, you're going to get better stock market results from the natural gas area than you are from the crude oil area.
I have always felt that diversification was important, and I think that diversification right now, perhaps into the area, not with all of your eggs, but with a certain amount of them into the energy sector, makes so much sense. Okay. That's it for the Corlin Economics Report for this weekend. It's been an eventful week. I think it's going to be even more eventful next week. Thanks for listening.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you own an Apple iPhone and love to listen to your favorite programs on GCN, I've got good news for you. I'm proud to announce that GCN has a brand new iPhone app available for our dedicated listeners at GCNlive.com. Listen to your favorite hard-hitting GCN programs live or on demand right on your iPhone. And the best part? The GCN iPhone app can be yours absolutely free. Download the iPhone app today by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.